Amen. Well, if I sound a little nasally, it's because I've been a little sick the last week or so, so bear with me here. I'll try not to clear my throat into the microphone. Anyway, well, happy Mother's Day, mothers. Yes, we love you guys so much. It's just, I don't even know what to say about mothers, man. You know, one time I was asked, what was the closest thing to God's love that I've ever experienced here on this earth? If you could describe it, Keith, what would that be like? And I can remember saying, a mother's love. That's what I can remember saying. A mother's love. Because how much our mothers love us, how they stick right by us. And moms are really funny, because no matter how old you get, you're still mommy's baby. Dads are different. We're like, cool, you're grown up, sweet. Get on out of here. Moms, something completely different. Moms want to hold on to their babies. And it's so good to have a mom. And you know, we love you guys so much. We appreciate you very much. We just want to make sure that we honor you this morning and all that you do. So, amen. Give the mothers a hand. Come on, men. Do a little better. There we go. All right. So the Lord spoke to me a few weeks back. And he was speaking to me about how God's people are being attacked so much, so often, by an enemy. And how, because of all these distractions that are constantly plaguing our minds, that are constantly coming against us, that our view of God was starting to get distorted. How many know, man, life is tough. Life is not for sissies. It's not. Life is not for sissies. And we have an enemy out there that's constantly bombarding us with garbage all the time. And the Lord spoke to me about this and said, Keith, I need you to start speaking about who I am. Start reminding my people so that their perception of me does not get distorted. It's good to be reminded of how good our God is. And that was the theory behind this. This was the idea behind this series called Who is God? Right? Who is God? That we would know exactly who God is. See, because after a while, evil keeps hitting us, right? All these things keep hitting us and keep hitting us. We can start believing this lie that God is the one sending the evil, that God is the one putting the disease in our life, that God is the one that is putting the bad on us. I'm here to tell you this morning, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the devil. That is a lie from the enemy. Because see, a lot of times we get confused and we think this. We think, because God is all-knowing, he must have planned me to go through what I am going through. Because God is omniscient, he must have planned for me to walk through this tragedy. Because God knows every single thing that's going to happen. It must have been in his plan that I deal with this disease. No. Just because God knows everything doesn't mean that God plans everything. That's a fact. Just because God knows everything, church, doesn't mean that God plans everything. So God wanted me to remind you about his plans for you. About how our God has only good plans for us. That is it. There is nothing else. God only has good for you and for me. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord of hosts. So in other words, I know the plans I have for you, says Jesus. Says Jesus. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. These are the plans that our God has for us. He has plans for hope, not disease. Plans to prosper us, not for us to struggle. That's not his plan. Plans to give us a future, not take our life. This is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. However, there is an enemy out there who has orchestrated sin from the beginning of time. There's an enemy who's out there God never created death. He never created sin. He never created evil. This isn't what God does. Matter of fact, Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 says, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. This verse lends to the notion that God did not make everything. He saw everything that he had made and it was all good. So in other words, everything that God has made are good things, not evil for his children, not evil. But yet the enemy wants us to believe that. The enemy wants you to think that this morning, that God is the one sending all of these bad things your way, and it's just not true. And this is one thing that we talked about, was the goodness of God. When we started this series, and we read in James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, where it says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Okay, so here James starts it off. He says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Now, this is right after verse 13, that James says this. He says, if you are being tempted, don't say that you're being tempted by God, because God does not tempt any man, and neither does he tempted by evil. So in other words, God does not tempt us, and God does not send evil our way. That isn't God. Then he goes on to say this. He says, matter of fact, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, only good gifts come from God. And the same God that gave good gifts back then is the same God that will give good gifts today, is the same God that will give good gifts in the future, because there's no changing in our God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Everything in between, he's good. That's the God we serve. This is who God is, church. This is who God is. And again, I'm not talking about your feelings, because our feelings are so fickle. One moment we feel good, the next minute we're mad, right? So I'm not talking about how we feel. I'm talking about who God is. He's always good, but we have an enemy out there that's constantly bombarding us with evil. And that's why the Bible's clear to say this. It says, he who remains steadfast, he who endures to the end, is the one that will be saved. He's the one that will receive the crown of life to those I have promised, because they have stood the test. They have stood and stood faithfully in me, knowing that I'm not the one sending the evil their way. Right? And here's the good thing I love about the Lord. Even though God never planned for these bad things to happen in my life, he never planned for me to be a heroin addict, right? When God formed me in my mother's womb, his plan was never for me to go down that road, ever. Never. I did what I did, okay? But yet, this is my God. But even though I did those things and those bad things came, God never planned them, but he brought a divine purpose from them. See, God will never let anything go to waste. Never let anything go to waste. That kind of reminds me of my grandmother with a piece of chicken. She don't let nothing go to waste. She eat the gristle and all of it. You know what I'm saying? But never let anything go. Hallelujah. We'll erase that so Grams don't hear that. Praise God. Delete that, Eric. But God never, ever lets anything go to waste in this life for us. And he never leaves us nor forsakes us. So even though he didn't plan for us to walk through that hard stuff, he never lets you go through it by yourself. Matter of fact, he goes before you. He goes before you, it says in Joshua. He goes before you, preparing the way, right? But then we also talked about this, how we're going to get to know God. We talked about seeking God. Seeking God. Jeremiah 29:13 says that you seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You will find me when you seek me with your whole heart, not just with part of it, not just when it's convenient for you, not just when it fits into your agenda. You know, let's just be honest for a moment here. Some of us, the only word we get is on Sunday morning. It's the only word we get. It's the only time that we enter into God's presence. It's the only time we seek God's face is Sunday mornings. Okay? And okay, I don't advise it, but okay, I get it. Okay? But yet, even with that fact being true, We are so quick to dismiss church off the priority list. Okay? Everything else will come before church. It really will. So, this is really frustrating to me. Okay? Because this is really aggravating, because here we have so many things nowadays pulling on us to get us out of church. Okay? Sports, all this stuff. I mean, literally, every single Sunday, there's a sporting event going on, right? And as Christians, what we've done is we've just followed suit. We've just followed suit, not said nothing. Just go ahead and do it, right? And I've heard a lot of people, and I've heard this say, well, this is just the season that we're in, right? This is just the season. Little Johnny has a football game, and it's football season. This is just the season. Well, then the next season. Well, it's wrestling season, and little Johnny has a wrestling match. Well, then it's the next season, and it's baseball season, and little Johnny has a baseball game. Then it's the next season, and hey, it's summer. So we got summer leagues. See, here's the problem. If we don't make God a priority now, more likely later, we will not. It's that simple. I'm going to give you a little statistic here. They say this, that if you are a tobacco user, okay, you use tobacco. If you don't quit by the time the age of 26 rolls around, your chances of quitting is decreased by 40%. Let me give you how big of a swing that is. Let's say you've got a 23% chance of quitting tobacco before you're 26. You hit 26, it jumps up to 66% right then. Chance of not quitting. So what does that mean? It means this, that if we don't start early on making church in the presence of God a priority in our life, the likelihood of it becoming more of a priority later is very slim to none. It's very slim to none, and it's a fact. And listen to me, am I saying this? Am I saying that, hey, make your kids quit sports? No, Lord have mercy, no. I'm not saying that. I love sports. Anybody knows me, I'm a sport nut, okay? But what am I saying? This is what I'm saying. Sports cannot be a priority over Jesus. It cannot be. You can't afford to make something else priority over Christ, because the only thing that matters in this life, whether you want to believe it or not, is living for Jesus. That is it. That is it. That's the only thing that matters, right? But yet we fell into this thinking that sports matter more than Jesus. And it's really sad. It really is. And it keeps happening. It keeps continuing. And the whole time, the enemy's laughing at us. The enemy's saying, yeah, they're buying this lie that it's okay, because we think, well, God understands. And again, am I saying this to be condemning? No. I'm saying this to challenge you to make sure Jesus is number one. Because let me tell you something. If you're a house that you serve the Lord and you miss a Sunday, no big deal. No big deal, right? But if it's only Sunday that you're getting your word, 2 + 2 = 4. So if you miss Sunday, you're not seeking Jesus at all that week. That means we're not encountering him. That means we're not finding him. That means we're not drawing closer to him. And this is the point, church. How we're going to get to know who he is by seeking him. Give the Lord a clap offering. We're awful quiet in here. Amen. But we've got to seek Jesus with everything we got. I got a story for you. When I was a kid, okay, I was a big sports nut, right, Elder? Loved sports. I mean, I was in every sport you ever known, all year round. Okay, and I was a quarterback, okay? So I was Mr. Big Time, all right? At least I thought I was, praise God. I was to my mother. So anyway, I can remember as a kid, and I still remember this like it was yesterday. My mom made a stand, because our football games were on Sundays. My mom said, well, listen, Keith will quarterback the games after church. It's that simple. Now, most of the times, did I get to the games? I did. Almost every time I got to the games. Was there times even that I was late for the walkthrough? Yes. And you know who somebody was really upset? My dad. My dad was the coach, okay? My dad's like, what are you doing to me? My quarterback, right? But my mom set a precedent in our home. And these two would fight about this all the time. And I can remember like it was yesterday. But it set something inside of me, and it instilled something as a young boy that it means something to go to church and seek after Jesus. That's the only thing I'm trying to say this morning, is that we go after the Lord with everything we got, even when it doesn't coincide with our schedules. Okay? That's all I'm trying to say here. Amen. I lost my place. Praise God. So, something else that we talked about the past 2 weeks was about love. Because if we're going to understand who is God, we've got to understand love. Right? And last week, what we did was we broke down, put this up, honey, John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I want everyone to read this with me, okay? Here we go. All of us together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, we should all have this memorized, right? But this is the love that our Father has for you, that your Father has for you. He has what we call a so love, right? If you remember the illustration I gave about Isabel, she'll come to me, she'll go, Daddy, how much do you love me? And I'll bend down and I'll say, Baby, I love you so much. She'll go, How big? I'll say, So big. It's so big, right? I think she even does it to Josh. But if you're a boy, she probably does it to you too. So praise God. She's so boy crazy. My God in heaven, Jesus. Oh, he's a boy, so she'll go after Jesus too. So, yeah. But this is how our God loves each and every one of us. He loves us so much. His love for you is so big. It's so deep. It's so wide. Matter of fact, he loves you with such a love that he gave. Right? God loves, so he gave. And he gave you his very best. He gave you his son. And that leads me to the question, what are we giving him? Are we giving God our very best? Is that how we're living our lives? That God, you get the first, you get our very best because you loved us. Because remember, he first loved us, so we love him. But God loves us so much that he gave. Amen. You know, lately here, the Lord has been dealing with me about kindness. This is actually not a real strong suit of mine. I'm just gonna be honest with you. The Lord's been dealing with me about kindness. And he's been telling me, because it's not that I'm a mean person at all, but, okay. Hey, don't laugh. Just being serious. But the Lord's been dealing with me about kindness because I'm a one-track-minded person, okay? So, when I am going, I'm full steam ahead, and I don't see anything else. I don't have a very good peripheral vision, and my multitasking skills are horrible, right? So if I have something in front of me, look out, because I'm coming for it. And so at times, I will not be very kind to people. I'll be very short, because I'm moving forward. I am in a process, and you're actually in my way. That's the way I see things at times. And God's been speaking to me about kindness, saying, you have got to be kind. It's your kindness that is going to show people my love. How do you expect, Keith, to show people me if you're not being kind to them? And I said, okay, God. Because if you remember a couple weeks ago, the character of God are the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And these nine things make up the character of God. These nine characteristics are the very nature in which God will operate, okay? And God's telling me, if you're operating outside of these things, you're not handling it the way I would handle it. And it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I can be doing God's work, but not acting like God wants me to act. That's a fact. I've seen it so many times in churches and with pastors. Let me talk about the gifts for just a second. The gifts are the power of God, okay? They're the power of God, and there are a lot of Christians that don't believe in the gifts, and then there are Christians that do believe in the gifts, okay? And I'm gonna be clear this morning of where I stand on the gifts of the Spirit, right? Not only do I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, every single one of them, but they are actually indispensable for the time that we live in. We cannot make it without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, and I'm not sure where people get that it's not for the time that we live in, because I'm like, okay, well then, if the Apostle Paul One of the greatest men to ever live needed the gifts of the Spirit, but I don't. Doesn't make any sense. Peter the apostle walked with Jesus everywhere he went, touched Jesus, held Jesus' hand. He needed it, but we don't. Disagree with that thoroughly. Right? But see, what's happened is Christians, what we've done is those who believe in the gifts and operate in the gifts, they have misused them. They have used them outside of the fruit. See, if the gifts are present without the fruit of the Spirit, boy, it's an ugly thing. That is an ugly thing. The power of God without the character of God? That is crazy. I remember Patsy one time told a story, and I can't remember who the person was, but the person, this big pastor, was praying for God to give him the power of God, and he said, well, I can't give you my power all the time because you'd be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, you would be blowing cars out of your way. So he said, right? Because without the fruit of God, the character of God, we will misuse the power of God. And that's what's happened. So it's put a bad taste in people's mouth. I've seen it in churches where the pastors will have a guest speaker come in, an evangelist or a prophet, and they've come in and they've operated in the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit was absent. So it actually caused a lot of dissension in the church. Hurt the church. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. You know, I've had a great privilege in my life to be around a lot of powerful men of God who operate in several gifts. I've had a great opportunity to do so. And I've been a part of things with men that have preached to thousands of people who preach across the globe and all that thing. And I've been in several services with them, but I've also been outside of church with them, sitting and eating dinner with them and hanging out with them and getting to see who they are outside of church. Most of the time, it's a very pleasant experience. Some of the time, it isn't so pleasant. I've seen them sit in restaurants and be rude to the waitresses. See them not tip the waitresses. Complain about everything that comes on their plate. And I think to myself, how in the world can you operate in the power of God 10 minutes ago and then get here and act like that? Why? The power of God was present without the fruit of the Spirit, without the character of God. And this is the scary thing about it. We've got to make sure that our kindness is evident to all men, that we are kind-hearted people with the world. Amen. Amen. This is what Proverbs 3 says. Do not let your kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your hearts. If you remember, we talked about how this thing is a heart thing. Living for God is a heart thing. That we have to have it in our heart. That it won't make sense into our minds until we get it in our heart. Once we get it to our hearts, then it'll go to our heads. But first, we got to have it in our heart. And this just reiterates that. But the proverb says this. Not only do you write it on the heart, but you actually bind it around your neck so that you can't leave kindness anywhere you go. That it's always with you. That it's not like a shirt that you take on or that you put on and take off. I'm kind here at church. How are you? Then we get outside. Who are you? And we're stuck up and we're snobby. Listen, if that's how we're acting, church, to people, if that's how we're acting to the world, that's how we're treating sinners, that's how we're treating people who don't know Jesus, well, we're missing it. We're missing the point. We're supposed to be so kind to them that they don't even know what's happening. They don't even know what is going on. You know, when I think about kindness, I started to think about the story of the Good Samaritan. That to me is the perfect example of kindness. See, what happens in Luke chapter 10, go home and read, I'm going to paraphrase. What happens is the Pharisees send a lawyer to debate with Jesus. They actually send him to try to trap Jesus into saying something wrong. And they say to him, the lawyer says, hey, Jesus, so you tell me what someone must do to inherit eternal life. And of course, Jesus looks at him and says, well, what do you think? I love that about Jesus. What do you think? Right. So the lawyer sits there and he says, well, you love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with everything that is within you, right? And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus says, you're right. Very good. Do that and you're good. But the guy wasn't satisfied, right? Because he's trying to trap Jesus. So he goes on and says, He goes on to him and says, yeah, but who is your neighbor? Tell me who your neighbor is. So Jesus tells him a story. He says, well, this man is coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on his way to Jericho, now obviously this is a Jewish man. He says, I'm on my way to Jericho, on his way. These band of thieves and robbers come down and attack him. And it says in scripture, it says that they beat him and stripped him of his clothes, leaving him half dead. So in other words, here this Jewish man is, he's laying on the ground and he's dying. There's blood coming all out of him and everything. Here comes another Jewish man, a priest, walking through to Jerusalem. He walks up and he's on the same side of the road as the guy. Matter of fact, instead of walking even near him, he goes and crosses the street and walks on the other side of the street. Doesn't even help him. It's so funny here because Jesus actually reiterates his point. He says that then next a Levite comes. Well, how many know this? That if you were in the tribe of Levi, that you were a priest. That was your job. That was what the tribe of Levi was, the Levitical priests from Aaron. That was what they did. They did religious duty. So he just reiterates the fact that here comes another godly man, quote unquote. And he gets there and just passes on by him, doesn't even help him. He said, but then here comes this Samaritan. Now a Samaritan, you gotta understand this, they had no communication with Jews at all. They never even talked to each other. They weren't even allowed to speak to one another. But the Samaritan stops and picks him up, puts him on his own animal, it says. Takes him into town. He takes him into an inn. And the guy says, and he bandages him. He cleans him up. He clothes him and does all this stuff. And he goes to the innkeeper and gives him money, gives him 2 denarii. He says, here, I want you to take care of any need this man has. And if you have to spend more money than this, just charge it to my account. Just charge it to my account. And Jesus is saying this to us. It's a great example of this. We're not only supposed to be nice to each other. We're supposed to be nice to the one that's far from God. Even more so to them so that they can see the love of Christ, the kindness that comes off of us that will lead them to Jesus. This is what scripture says. Worship team, actually, if you guys could come up. Romans says this. It says, it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. I love that. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. The Lord's really been dealing with that with me lately because I've been talking to God about how to minister to people. God, how do I lead people to you? God, I want to show people you. Teach me how to do it. And I thought that he would really give me some great revelation, you know what I mean? Like the heavens would open up and a dove would descend from heaven and God would say, thus saith the Lord, Keith. Didn't happen like that. He said, be kind. Be kind. Be kind because it's my kindness that leads to repentance. See, so far, the church in the old days, man, they got so caught up on who's right and who's wrong that they missed the point of what it's about. And because of everyone trying to be right and prove everybody else is wrong, let me tell you something. I don't want you to come to me and point out all my wrongs. If someone would have ministered to me that way, I'd have said, forget you. I don't want nothing to do with you, you self-righteous, pompous. I'd had a bunch of good words for him. I'd have been a sinner, so we can't say them today. I keep it PG. But how upsetting it must be for a person who don't know Jesus to come in and the church say, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, we're right, we're right. Man, it's about showing them the kindness of God. That's what will lead them to repentance. If you just stand to your feet this morning. Man, we want to be a place who is kind. A people who are gentle. And forget about who's right or wrong. Listen, there is a right and there's a wrong, but let Jesus show them that. We don't need to teach them that. We need to teach them about Jesus. That's what we need to teach them about. Teach them about Jesus. Show people the love of Jesus. Jesus will teach them what's right and wrong. He'll be the one to convict them. We don't have to. Let's be a people who are kind. This week, I'm gonna give you a challenge this week. Do one act of kindness to somebody you have no idea. Maybe you're sitting in the drive-thru and there's somebody behind you and you just pay for their food. Here, I want to take care of the people behind me. Why you want to do that? I don't know. Just do it. Just an act of kindness, random kindness to somebody. You never know what that could mean to that person. Or a simple hi. How are you today? How are you today? I remember one time I'm down, and it's Sunday morning. I'm down at Sheetz and I'm buying breakfast. I never eat usually on Sunday morning, but that morning I was starving. Couldn't get it off my mind. I usually fast before preaching. But that morning I was starving. So I said, I'm gonna run down to Sheetz real quick. And I got to the counter and this lady's standing there. And I didn't mean to get into what we got into. It was really an auto response, like, how are you this morning? I was hoping good. Is that all you need? But it didn't go there. It went to, well, let me tell you, 30 minutes later, I said, well, listen, we'll be praying for you. You know, the Lord is with you. But you never know how that ministered to that lady's heart. We never know what the act of kindness will bring and how it will bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed this morning, every eye closed, I never want to leave a service without giving a chance if somebody wants to give their life to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and actually the church has done nothing but show you how right they were and how wrong you were. Well, I'm here to apologize for them. That it's the kindness of God that will lead you to repentance. And maybe this morning you felt the kindness of God and you just want to give your life to Jesus this morning. If that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you to come up for prayer. Or if you want anything, any prayer at all, we always want to be a church that prays for the needs of whatever you have. Any need that any person in this church has, we want to be a people who pray for it because we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that God answers prayer. Matter of fact, we know He does. We don't just believe it, we know it. Because we've witnessed it. So as the worship team sings a song here, we're going to open these altars and then I'll come up and close. But Holy Spirit, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would soften every heart. That I pray right now, God, that you would show people the kindness that you have towards them. That your loving kindness would cause them to praise your name this morning. That it would cause your praise to forever be on their lips. Because of your kindness. Soften each and every person here. Holy Spirit, draw them. I pray right now. In the name of Jesus. If you want prayer, I just encourage you to come up.